He said, what is sexy about Berlin?
Sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he said, sexy Berlin.
Oh, did I? I don't remember. It's funny what comes out, isn't it? Sexy Berlin. Did I say this last time I was here?
No, you said it on one of your talks. You were doing advertisements.
She meant me.
Okay.
Isn't that obvious?
After death, there are two possibilities. Either it stops, everything stops, or a new body gets born. For who? The second possibility. For who?
Yeah,
does it happen?
Yeah, not for you or me, but for that beingness that belongs to no one and isn't anything. But not a personal beingness, not, there's no you in that at all. Like, nobody that you could describe.
So there's the possibility that the phone stops anyway,
yeah,
and the beingness is anyway.
If the phone stops, then there's just the nothing happening, there's deep sleep.
For who?
For no one, though. If the forms carry on, but still not for anyone, it's still for that deep sleepness.
At the same time, there are a myriad or billion other forms not in deep sleep or not stopping, still moving.
I don't know, that will begin to start. I don't know. There are million other forms that. The only thing that I can. That comes when I think about it is there's the beingness that can either be in rest or manifesting.
Are you talking about rebirth?
Not really, no.
Would just, you like to explain a little bit?
Just more? After the physical body dies,
yeah.
What happens?
Mm-hmm.
And what comes here when somebody asks that is, it's either going to be nothing,
yeah,
or there's going to be nothing and everything again.
Do I get this?
No. No. Well, like there's only one, there couldn't be either or. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand.
When there's one, you're saying there could only be either or.
No, when it's one, there cannot be either or. If there's only one,
yeah,
there cannot be two possibilities.
So you're saying the ultimate is nothing?
And everything.
And everything. So you're saying, I don't know though, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. All there ever is nothing and everything actually. When there's nothing, there's nothing.
Yeah.
You, there's just, so it's kind of a real abstract. But that's the answer that comes when someone asks about what happens when the body dies.
Yeah.
That might be a really inaccurate answer. I don't know, like it might not be like that at all.
Nobody knows.
No. All you can go on is really this experience, what's happening here, and this, what's happening here is this there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing happening, and then there's everything happening simultaneously. But then when I can imagine, like, deep sleep, then in death it could just be deep sleep, nothing happening at all. Or there could be nothing and everything. But you're saying when there's one, how could there be two possibilities? And I don't know. It's kind of confusing.
What about messages from after death? Spirits or ascended masters, things like that.
And rebirth of memories.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's all happening here. Like, it's all happening right now. It's always happening in presence or in this moment. And there could be loads of different explanations. But anything could happen now, like there could be aliens, there could be anything happening. It doesn't mean that there's another, it doesn't mean there's anything outside of this. Like different, like ghosts or rebirth doesn't imply there's anything outside of this one being. It's all appearing in the one being.
But this is not part of the belief system that you can have or not have. You think it really does appear? It really appears?
Well, I think that there's a very strong possibility there could be ghosts and different appearing. And aliens and all of that. It's going to be fascinating for her. It's amazing that we've got this imagination that can kind of comprehend and think about the physical death of the body. And it can think about all these things, these ghosts and different entities, but the end of suffering always is the end of that separate entity, and then after that it's all just theory, the end of that person that takes this life to be their life. Like what happens to you at death, or what happens to the body at physical death is not relevant here really. Or if there's afterlife, but it's nice to theorise about it and think, like, it can be nice to think about it. And be like, in physical death, that separate entity will die with the body. That doesn't carry on. It has to die with the body.
So what does a separate entity mean in this context?
Well, there's not really a separate entity, but that energy that's claiming, that functioning that's claiming life to be their life, dies with the body.
Oh, really?
Because... most people associate who they are, that separate entity, to be something that belongs to the body, and something that the body's done, a behaviour of the body. And, what else? Habits, behaviour, actions, or like giving birth to things, giving birth to children, or things it's owned. And so when the body dies, that dies as well.
You mean like personality too? Ego too?
Yeah, personality will die as well with the body, but the separate entity believes that it is the body, or it is the body, will also die. That separation will die. It gets complicated because some speakers say that it carries on until you sort it out, and
Like calm, really.
Yeah. It can't come. Reincarnation. Mm-hmm. You'll be reincarnated until you
do better.
Yeah.
Good, right.
There's nobody there to be reincarnated. What happens is in the body-mind mechanism, a false program gets started somehow that starts telling the story that I am somebody inside this body, and it totally belongs to that body. It becomes an energetic experience. And it's like somebody's pressed play to it's like you can put a disc in the brain. This is what the separate entity is like. You can put a disc in the brain, like a CD in the brain, and press play, and it starts telling the story of my life, what I've done, my choices. And then energies, like if this play carries on, these words carry on, these energies form. Yes, I am here, it's saying. And that program dies with the body. I'm sure, I don't know this, but I'm sure it's something in the brain, which is a chemical reaction which is in the brain, a lie which has started with society seeming reconditioning it and with complicated thinking. I love it how they're so interested.
When you say that there should be intimacy, yeah, you mean that or what do you mean? The problem with any word that I use is that word intimacy will have certain like you might think of it as something that you that you do with a partner or it has different imaginings for everybody and different feelings and sensations. What I mean is when the separate entity is there, it feels like you end here. When that begins to dissolve, those ideas that me that are constantly focused on me in here, there's nobody actually here, but that energy is constantly focusing it. As that relaxes and dissolves, then that beingness that's there, or that aliveness that's there always, no matter what season goes, is. This is just me saying it, it's not actually quite true, this, but it's like that is everywhere again.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was everywhere before, it felt like it wasn't because it felt like I was in here.
Mm-hmm.
And there can be lots of different experiences, which are just the different experiences and aren't it, of feeling like space collapses and feeling like you're over there rather than in here. You can have lots of different, quite funky experiences as that energy collapses. But what's left after it's all settled down is just a sense of intimacy. It's not that you are everything or any of those ideas in the positive, it's just a closeness with everything. That I isn't in a cage anymore. It's not I am a body, the body arises in this, the description of the personality arises in this, but it's no longer caging anything. The I, that original I, is everywhere. It's always been everywhere though. It just felt like it was limited. Because the eye that's looking at this eye isn't separate.
Mm.
That's looking at this body, I mean, isn't separate.
It's the same energy.
Yeah. It's the same energy and it's in the same thing. If you change I with consciousness or beingness, like that which is looking, it's not even looking, there's not someone looking, but that, it's everywhere.
It meets itself the whole time. It's in different forms. There was this experience. It's hard to explain, like kind of change of perspective.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing I could see. It's nothing I could feel or smell.
Yes.
It's like a knowing. And
it's everywhere.
In this knowing, all these forms pop up, and it's like this form also popped up, and it was seen that it's completely irrelevant if this form is enlightened or dies or whatever happens.
Yeah.
It's just
what's happening.
It stays the same all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always there. And what still was there was a like a watcher.
Yes.
Something which was conscious about what that there's a knowing.
Yeah. Something and that looks at that.
Yes, and then this watcher wants to grasp it.
Yeah.
Wanted to hold it and say, wow, that feels good.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's it. But in this experience, it was like a feeling like a little bit like a remote controlled car or puppet or something like that. Like there was just impulses and no thinking about any decisions. It was just the body just followed impulses.
Yeah.
Like it has nothing to do with my wish or want or whatever. It just happened.
Your wish or your want is happening in the same way that everything else is happening, all appearing in that one thing that stays the same, and is that one thing that stays the same. The more that entity changes, the more that the energy shifts from this narrow to this everything. But in that, lots of experiences, like funky experiences, can happen. Like my friend reported back that what began to happen was he felt like his me was
like, the way he interpreted it was like inside the wall or inside, inside everything. And he had no concepts of spirituality at that time. And often you hear people say, I am God suddenly. Because that gives them that feeling that they feel like they're inside everything, which they are, but just not as a story of somebody, as that original nature.
It's so frustrating.
It's only frustrating when that person's popping up and down, but when it's down, when it's not there, it's not frustrating. Which is happening loads, and eating, drinking, talking, laughing. It's all crumbling, and then there's what is, which is everything. Then it comes back up as us, and then it examines itself. Once removed, oh, it's been frustrating, and I've been on this process. It's an all a lie. You've not been on a process of awakening. That thought is appearing now in this. That thing, in a thing that's never moved, which is creating all these films and dramas and amazing different experiences.
And you're also experience that to see how irrelevant it is to reach anything, any goal, when it just fell away, I said, okay, well, then what do I do now? Because it was my biggest goal in life.
Yeah.
So that's not goal anymore.
No, because it's just appearances, and how can we say one appearance is better than the other, including the idea of liberation? It's another appearance that comes and goes. There is absolutely no goal or no place to go. There's always this with different forms. That's it. And this is moving and not moving. There's also this absolute nothing, empty void to it. It comes and goes, all of these things. And this me energy, which has never really existed, did, but it seems like it existed, has kind of like suckered itself onto stuff, playing things. This is me, just me, the body. Just me, the Chuzo, and this whole drama that seems to have gone in time has stretched out. This is me in relationship with the world. This is me in relationship with myself. This is constantly looking at itself, trying to analyze, get, and it's just been meaningless forms appearing and disappearing. It's a funny joke in one way, but also it can be tragically sad because it seems so real when it was playing. That character, that person.
I find it even more hard. It's like you take the blood, you say,
yeah,
and you felt that once,
yeah,
and you want to keep it,
yeah, and you can't.
It's terrible. And then the feeling is like the identification gets even stronger, yeah. And all these neuroses or whatever, these sick thoughts, stronger.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to say that because you said this contraction, the contracted me. I felt the same. It's, you know, you experience the vastness and then suddenly it gets narrower again. Suddenly you have this contracted me again. It's even stronger sometimes. So I don't know if there's an answer to that.
No, and I don't really understand why it does that, but it does seem to do that. It really clings back to the opposite way. And then it kind of is coming maybe like this for a while, and that's a very big swing and then a little swing. But I don't understand why it goes back sometimes so hard.
And it's possible that it never dissolves in this life.
Well, it feels like that, but really it's always dissolved. It's never been happy, but it does feel like that. When you're in that mentality of looking at yourself in time, it feels like it might be a whole lifetime of that. But that's really not true. It's not a whole lifetime of it. It's forever forms appearing and disappearing, appearing infinite.
Is there anything you can, well, that's the ego asking again,
to recommend? No, doing will happen, but this is where I think that speakers that come at it at quite a hard angle is quite nice, because if you go to a speaker which gives you a little bit of hope, trust me, your me will jump on it. And I'm sure you maybe do go to some speakers that are telling you that you can do something. Your me, trust me, it will really jump on it, and it will really jump on the idea it can do something to get back to that space. then it will get exhausted with it eventually. And it's nothing to do with what you think or what you feel or any ideas of peaceful situation. If I had more time, if I had more silence, if I had less drama, this is all a lie. If I had a dog,
if I meditated more,
whatever it's going to say is an absolute lie. It will fixate on bits and bobs though. It will fixate on the meditation or the...
Mm-hmm.
It will fixate on, oh, I've got to do this every evening, or... And it will fixate for a while. And then you'll experience, or there'll be that expansion in a really shitty situation. You'll be like, oh, yeah, that's not right. Nothing you think about this is true. Even the idea that you're still trapped. Even the idea that you did have that big explosion and then it went, that's still another game that's being played out. Yeah. So you just realised how fucked you are with that story. But what can seem to happen is that less energy is going into that. It's just like a tree growing. It's just like a, it's a program, that a false program that started of me, my life, my choice.
That's a challenge.
To me, it feels even what you are saying seems to be a story.
Yeah, it is, though. It is. Everything I say is a story. Everything.
This is what I feel, what I experience.
Yes.
And that who knows, now it's a movement arising, non-duality movement.
Yes.
Call it this way.
Yeah.
And after that, maybe comes another story. This is what I experience, or
yeah, it really is a story. Everything I say, you know how I will often say about the seeker and seeking pleasure, and it's not pleasure, and that what are the other things I say, beingness. It is all a story. This is all sounds appearing and disappearing.
The I think we've been here maybe a year ago or so, and I was really into it, everything you were saying. And this time I said, you know, it's not just another story.
It really is, though. It really is. At one point, the mind might put an emphasis on this non-duality thing. This is really hard, because this is, like, going to be left with absolutely nothing the more we get down here. It'll be painful. But, it is an absolute story with bullshitters, all of us speakers about it. I don't know why I have to speak about it, but again and again seems to be. Blah, 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 blah. But there is just appearances. There's no freedom in these words. There's appearances coming and going. That's it. There's no grander belief system. And as that energy begins to relax, this will also be seen as bullshit. But that's so sad, because it's like you listen to Tony for years, you listen to me for years, and there's a slight idea that they know something, because there's specialness, and then it begins to be seen that they're also bullshitters. It's just coming and going, funny appearances, and the boat, sand in the boat. You said you had a boat, and then the sun and the trees blowing. It's what you started with as a child. I mean, this would be absolute bullshit to a child.
One of the things is a story, and you just choose which story you like better or not.
It seems that you're choosing, the energy just goes to which one. But then, what seems to happen is that one that's continuously holding a story, or seems to be continuously holding a story, crumbles, and then it's just coming and going, these stories.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the same when I had met this really nice lunch together. It was an interesting talk. Just stories.
Yeah.
And, but that doesn't need to stop, but it's just bullshit for no reason anymore. I used to think that there would be, you would stop talking or something, conversations, or you'd speak less, and then you meet somebody that's not suffering anymore and is an absolute chatterbox, and you're like, oh, okay. They can speak on anything. But there's no energy that's holding it, it's just, why not? Sounds coming out. I thought it was, you know, you have an idea because there's so many descriptions of people sitting meditating and silence, and it seems to be a bit of an emphasis on the silence, but it's great when you meet someone, particularly a woman character as well, because women tend to be the more chatty ones. There's not suffering anymore, and it's absolute bullshit, and you talk about nothing, and you're like, oh. But it's no longer about them proving themselves or them maintaining something. It's just bullshit for bullshit's sake. Like everything else, it's all got no reason. So the tree's got no reason either. Why not discuss what the body did? Or the thing really did.
Because something driven by fear of whatever.
There's certainly fear in that coming back. Like when it comes back, it certainly scares something. But I don't think that fear is the original driver. It's just that for some reason it goes back. But fear is part of that. It has to be, because when that person's there, it's vulnerable.
For me, it's like a programming. Parents, people give to people to babies. It's like, oh, it's you, that's your name, watch out, you hurt, oh, you're sad, nice, you name everything. It's like, really, it's human being. Yeah. It does seem to only happen in humans. But a dog or any important animal, they do, don't they have a memory, like if they get beaten all the time, they start to bite and
So that's just the body. They don't have an energy that's claiming that. That's just the body, the reactions. That's just in the moment. There's not an energy that's saying that is who I am. They can't recognize themselves to be anything.
And it's a kind of conditioning also.
It's conditioning the body, but not a personal conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that doesn't need to go.
They don't think about their...
They don't think that they've got conditioning that's traumatised conditioning. My dog's got trauma conditioning a bit. And she doesn't have the ability to think of herself like that. It's just, in that moment, trauma happening.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't think of herself as a linear thing in time.
Mm-hmm.
I got this when I was 3 and I have this. She doesn't think of herself as that. It's just appearing and disappearing. So when the thing that traumatizes her is gone, it's just gone.
Mm. There was this lady, I don't know, maybe she was an English lady. She took a gorilla female gorilla, and she brought her up, and she taught her the language of humans with fingers, and she started really to communicate, and she was very intelligent. She communicated like a human being.
Yeah, through hand gestures.
Yeah. The language when people cannot hear and
talk. Yeah, the sign we call it.
Mm-hmm. It's very impressive.
Yeah,
to see it on YouTube. And it seems like there was a personality, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that some animals can recognize themselves. Dogs certainly can't.
In the mirror.
Yeah.
Mm.
But this is where it begins. This. Okay, so I'm the body, and then this energy starts in time. So this is the solid thing I am. And I've started here, and I'm moving along in time. I don't know if a gorilla, even if it did some form of hand language, if the thinking would be complicated enough for that to happen. I'm not sure, though. But it does require a certain level of complicated thinking to see yourself as this separate object and imagine yourself moving along in time, because that's not happening. We're not moving along in time. This is it. But this imagining is coming in, and it has to have words, and it has to have an ability to think in a more than just, like, the dogs have some form of thinking, but very simple. It would be interesting to watch the gorilla.
Yeah, she lost her male gorilla friend, and she said, "I'm sad." And she had a meeting with this American Robin Williams actor.
Yeah.
And they were tickling and playing each other and talking to each other. And it's really nice to watch. It's really like a human. But in the moment, like maybe like a child.
Yeah.
No. In a way, it's irrelevant if a gorilla has
But I was thinking, the only way, like in humans, that I can tell if there's somebody playing with it. I can't really tell, but if you hang around with someone for a period of time, the only way you'll notice it is not through actions, as in like, you can, like grumpy or not grumpy or angry, or it's when it's not held on to, so they're angry, and then the next moment, it's, you know, when a kid's like crying its eyes out, and then you say, "Oh, we're going to the park now," and it's ah. So it's been screaming, and then it's just over. This is the only way I can see it in humans, is when it's just kind of whatever's arising, so if that sadness arises, and then it disappears. It's not being held in this story of me and mine going on, and kind of very like childlike behavior in that way.
And in a partnership, if one eye is dissolved and one is not,
the one that's still there is destined to burn in hell. Really awful for the one that's still there. That's really terrible.
Isn't it awful for the other one as well then?
No, because the other one doesn't have the ability to maintain a story about it. But it's just in each moment, if the other one's angry, it's just anger in that moment. So it's not noticed. But for the one that's taking it personally, it's terrible. Because you're suddenly going out with someone that doesn't see you as in a relationship anymore. That's awful. You're like going along, you're both in a relationship and committed and blah, 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 blah. And then it drops away in this one. And it no longer sees itself in a relationship. The bodies might carry on. But this one's like trying to, normally the games between people is you're trying to make the other one feel bad. You're trying to manipulate them, get them to tell them that they're wrong or get them to tell you you're fantastic. And then if someone's not playing, it's the one that's still there is just falling into the void all the time. Yeah. It's like, can't get anywhere and it's terrible. It's worth being with someone that's identified. At least if you're with an identified person, you can get them to feel guilty and bad for things they've done. And it's your fault. And they're like, oh yeah, it's my fault, you're right, I'm really an ass. And then it's like, oh yes, it's not me, it's them. If you're with someone that's not got that thing, that anymore, then it really gets reflected back your own neurosis. And that's intense for someone. If you're being started, oh yeah, we'll get yourself a liberated husband, it's awful. And then because they're in the moment, a nice, beautiful young woman walks past, they'll be like, ah. And they'll go, what's the problem? It's just, it won't be nice to someone that's holding on to things.
So can it work?
No, it can't. I'm sorry to be so. Or if it's happening, it's going to be really fiercer and fierce for that one that's still identified. I mean, anything can happen, but it's going to be really fierce for that one that's still, you are mine.
So good for you, because it's irrelevant if you are in a partnership or not.
Yes.
Is it really irrelevant?
Who said that? Yes. It is.
And what happens with these longings like cuddling, kissing, tenderness, the body senses? I'm very, I like to play, touch and smell and stuff like that. So, that's a thought as well?
No, it's still pleasurable, but it's just as it is, it's pleasure, and when it's gone, it's gone. And that stops, then it's making the cup of tea.
And the longing for that, if it's not there, it's gone as well. Or does it arise like, oh, there's a longing, and it just goes away again?
A DJ is born.
Anymore, but
in other forms it could arise.
In other forms,
yes. If you can only say it for this form, it doesn't arise. And in another form, it can arise. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, maybe. So, say if you're hungry, the body's going to move towards getting food. So this body is a young body, so it's obviously programmed to want to have kids. So it's going to move towards that action. Yeah, but it's not of importance. But the body's going to do that. The body's going to seek out male partners.
We could put it in French gold, dating gold.
Next time he comes to Berlin,
I'll put on male.
Men only. New advertisement to them. Only for men.
But how does it happen? I mean, for me it happens when the the insight came that everything is just a thought, or everything is appearing in consciousness, and suddenly the realization happens that my childhood, my past, everything, whatever happened, is just a thought, it's not real. And with that came along a feeling of disinterest. So there's no impulse coming up anymore. Of course, getting up in the morning happens, going to work happens, but then nothing else happens anymore. It's just, there's no impulse coming to do anything.
I would say, well, you'll find the impulse comes to eat.
Then eating happens, but there's no impulse for socializing, for calling people.
But it might happen, like socialize. Yeah, you're right, I find this as well. But also, this is a young woman's body, so the impulse should be to reproduce these.
Yeah.
But this is like an eating, like this is like the eating thing. So this is going to happen, but it's not of importance. It's not a strong like. It's not a strong pull. I just noticed that if in the right situation, like this is going to be suddenly presenting herself to that mess.
Yeah.
Then that's going to happen. But it's of no importance. It really doesn't, like, the longing doesn't happen or the... But you see, speaking about this, the only issue that I have speaking about this is it puts too much emphasis on Lisa's, on behaviours. Well, what we're talking about is something that the behaviours are arising in. So it begins to focus down on behaviours, and then the mind hears it and goes, this is what I should be and shouldn't be. But I completely agree with you, but I was just reluctant to speak too much about Lisa.
But are there impulses still coming up in you to do anything? I mean, there's nothing to achieve, there's nothing to gain.
Yeah.
So it's totally pointless to do any action.
I find that there's impulses happening to survive, so to eat, to the roof, shelter.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that this is on the camera.
We can put it off for you.
No, I just, that's what the impulses are. So to reproduce, just the very bodily, like the very natural bodily instinctual, what we're programmed to do.
So what the body just happens to do.
But it doesn't need affection, it doesn't need attention, it doesn't need all these things. It's just purely about the bonking. It's
the puddle.
The body-animal side basically lifts it.
Yeah, the human, you just become back to being the animal which you are.
Holy shit.
It's just very simple, the eating, the sleeping, the shelter, the money, the sex. But it, like the humans also, it doesn't mean that you can't, the one person that you're doing this with, like that's also in the very animalistic, like there's one person, other person that you bring your child up with.
But do you still take care of friendships and hobbies and...
The way it happens is it just happens. So somebody says, would you like to go out for coffee? And there's yes or no. I find that the body's not really pushing for anything. The way these talks happen was just because of yes.
But there's no impulse coming up in you, forcing you to do anything. It's, if some impulse comes from outside, you just...
It's more of a yes.
Respond to it, and then... Okay.
There's not a strong personal desire to create lots of things. But lots of things seem to happen. It's amazing how when there's not, it's like the phone goes and would you like to come to the shops or eat or a lot of it's around eating. Then there's yes happening. But the problem with talking too much about me or Lisa is in each body mind mechanism, it's going to be expressed differently. Like I was talking yesterday, you went, this is so funny. I was on this panel, you found this quite funny, I was on this panel at a conference, and there was this 80-year-old guy, I think he was in his 80s, and he'd woken up in his late 70s, or mid-70s, and he told the audience that in the audience that all sexual desire disappears. And of course it's going to happen in the 70-year-old body. That's of course the way it's going to happen. There's not going to be that. The body's more, not going to have much of a desire to recreate anymore at that age. Maybe a little bit in a man, but not so much. So you spend the whole audience, and I can see all the audience taking notes, because they're thinking, like, we have sex. But if you've got a younger body, then the younger body's still going to do that. So you can't make too much of a, because somebody might hear this and then think, oh, hang on, I should be bonking all the time. And then also each body's set up differently, so some bodies haven't got so much of the hormones and...
Because the conditions are different.
Yeah, the conditions are different. Yes, I find that I become more and more like my dog. This is originally a grand idea of an enlightened person. I watch the dog and I'm like, oh, I'm like a dog.
Yeah, and it's not a question of age, believe me.
you can't define it.
Yeah.
But I did have a sense of this guy on this conference that it was to do with the paper. And he was taking that as a liberated thing. So he's telling everyone that it's a liberated action not to have sex. And I'm like,
yeah, we talked about this last year.
Oh, we did as well. Yeah,
we had so much fun because I mentioned it. I think I was the one asking you, so why do some things disappear when you're enlightened, and why do others still stay? And you said this one thing that I still remember very well every day, because there's still juice in it. That's what you said. That's why it still happens, so that's fine. That was scary, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, did you watch that way? Oh, right.
To push in one direction. It happens, no? That is just something that appears.
Yeah. So. But the suffering comes with that weight of that person that believes that going in that direction is better than this direction. But that still can happen, but it's not got that weight to it anymore. It's not like, this is going to get me somewhere. It's just more forms appearing. Mm-hmm. So the importance goes out of it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how it was, just doing something.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sometimes happen that the ego claims the whole thing for itself and then tells itself something like, oh, well, if it doesn't matter, I don't have to do anything anymore. So
yeah, and then this is when it begins to get screwed up non-duality, because the ego then is claiming non-duality and telling itself non-duality, the non-duality story. Mm-hmm. Rather than it just being false happening, it's like in this commentary of non-duality, which is what has to happen if that's what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do a quick 5 minute break again? Just because I can't make it.
Yeah. Something terribly different. I've been thinking a lot about all these narcissistic personality disorder leader types.
Narcissistic.
Yes. Okay. Personality disorder leader types, yes. In so many countries, like Putin or name them. And there seem to be so many at the moment. There have always been in history, yes. I know, but at the moment it's like, cool. Of course there are psychological explanations for that, you know, but do you see any spiritual reason or development or dynamics why this is taking place? Because people are always discussing it on a political level. I don't think the political level explains what's happening. There must be other reasons why this happens.
What, that we've got worse leaders now? Is that what you're saying? Or worse?
No, because they're all a bit crazy. All these crazy people, you know, and lots of people behind them who support them even. So they're being abused. And this takes place from Russia to Northern Korea and everywhere. It's so many at the moment.
You think it's more than before?
It seems to me, yes, at the moment. So I've been wondering, does it mean anything else?
Well, I certainly think that the West are getting more and more, growing more, like we were talking about earlier, they're getting more and more suffering. Like they say that in England, London is one of the highest depression rates. That people are getting more extreme in their suffering, it seems, in Western countries. There's so much more focus on the individual.
That's why I think.
So that might be the reason. But it does, like we put so much attention on this person, choosing the right car, the right phone, all choice, what you'll choose. TV programs, making the individual so important. I don't know if leaders have been worse than they have been before. But you're never going to find, even if somebody that wasn't suffering was running the world, there's still going to be problems. Because everything dies. Everything rots. There's still going to be people that prefer a different way.
It's just a feeling of climax in the moment.
Yeah.
Although, we have to compare, we haven't been here for such a long time, but it seemed like it's climaxing to something. We don't know what, but yeah.
I think that people in the West are suffering is growing more and more. Getting stronger and stronger.
Leading eventually to liberation or more suffering or
I don't know. It would be nice if that didn't have to happen, but I don't know where it's leading to. Maybe we extinct all the humans, make themselves extinct.
Maybe it's just happening without things.
Yeah, sure. I'm thinking about it too.
So we're never going to have a peaceful world, if that's all you have any ideas or nice notions about.
It's interesting you would say that, because I've been feeling that for quite a while now. But of course there are lots of people around me who are doing whatever for peace, and everyone's praying and wishing and doing their best for peace. But I'm in the middle of that, I think.
Paradise and hell go hand in hand.
Sorry?
Paradise and hell go
hand in hand. Yeah, that's what you said at the beginning, yeah. And I see that. The more you believe in paradise, the more you believe in hell.
Something unhindy. It's always 50-50, isn't it? Because everything has its opposite. It can't be any different.
So there's no goal, a peaceful world is to come for all of us if we had just worked for it, believe in it, or whatever.
No, so we're still going to have to kill loads of things to survive. To me, for these bodies to survive, lots of us to die. Look at lunchtime. Really, it was a big blood carnival bloodbath, but we had it nice and civilized, and it didn't look like it was eating all this dead flesh, but really, eating all this dead flesh. Maybe not all of us, maybe some of us were eating the plants, but.
Only what mice got to us.
Yeah, just the mice and the insects.
Good to have a hierarchy there.
Yeah.
And it takes us also just the thought, because everything at lunch, what was arising was the dish.
Yeah.
And then it's a plant or a dead animal, it's just
it's not at all, you're right, it's what it is in that moment.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been telling me the story of a peaceful world coming, and I see that it's not.
You may be not going to like this comment, but I was going to say that motherfucker Eckhart Tolle. I remember you telling me or talking about the New Earth last time or something.
Yeah, but I love him.
I know, and now I'm just saying motherfucker Eckhart Tolle. For the book of the New Earth, that you've got hope that there'll be a New Earth, there won't be.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh. I've come to think about it.
He promised me a new earth for liberation if I drop myself. Where's this new earth? I still have to kill things to eat. Oh. And when it comes to it, the body is programmed to survive. It will kill other humans to survive. What's that? There's no niceness in humans. The survival program.
But people think, there are people who think we evolved and we have.
The only reason that humans are nice is because they need other humans to survive. I'm sorry, there's no romance in this. It's all about programming and survival.
Which is also just a story.
Yes.
Even this doesn't have to be the truth.
No, that's not the truth at all. I'm just trying to counteract those ideas, though, of any niceness, and then we just dissolve into this. We're so hooked on this idea of niceness or peace, and I'm just trying to smash that over the head as many times as I can. And then we're just left with this, and then what I say is absolute bullshit. But I really have to hammer niceness because we're so conditioned to look for niceness. So I really have to hammer it. And I'm with it, and this body can get away with it a lot more so than other bodies. If Tony Parsons was sitting here saying the most extreme things like I do, or a man, this would be less acceptable. Because I'm smiling and I'm nice, I can really hammer niceness. I can really bring the blackness of it. Because, and it's not that what I'm saying is true, but all these ideas of a peaceful earth, of any of that bullshit, have to drop. There's no hope. It's just what's happening. The mind wants to carry on with niceness or peaceful or getting to a place. There's no place to get to. And also even that idea of hammering, of it, then that drops and then we're just in silence and the dog and chair and floor and carpet. Rings.
I've seen a Hitler speech. And he was standing there with flowers beside him. And he
was there. The story of
niceness. No. He was talking about oneness, wholeness, one people, one. The idea of a new earth, it's a Nazi idea. It's one leader, one people. And he seriously believed it. He seriously believed that he is going, or we are going to create a better future, or a better world, with his ideas. And these are his. That's the reason it was so popular. And it ended in hell.
Yeah, it really did. He was very connected to Tibetan monks as well.
Yeah, meditated and stuff, oh. Vegetarian.
Yeah. It was the Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was a spiritual master.
Yeah. It was a belief. He always talked about the belief. The belief is the strongest instrument in this in his future kingdom, and it's all about the belief. And they believed him, and they said, "It's now it's going to change."
Kind of all begins to get really funny when morality really drops.
Yeah, it's so hilarious if that was, that he was a vegetarian. The Ben Mung. We should do it like a fake film about Hitler originally, you know, going to Tibet.
it was worse. He didn't like cut flowers. He felt sorry for us.
Oh. Oh, so sensitive.
And they were the first country who invented the animal saving in the law, or animal protecting animals and stuff. Yeah. Against smoking.
Yeah. He has the polarity and he fights himself.
Yeah.
He's training.
And to add to the story, I heard he was half Jewish.
Okay.
And it's so weird. I mean, if you look at what happened to the Jews and what they do now with the Palestinians, it happens again. It happens everywhere, all the time.
When you say there is no hope, that really implies that as bodies, we're not evolving as bodies. Will this ever change with liberation? Because when we are in oneness and in love, we do not want to hurt usually, not without reason, but without being hungry.
There's just not an acting from hate. You're not going to kill your partner because they slept with someone else.
Yeah.
There's not an acting from hate, but the body still has to kill to eat.
Yeah, I understand that. But so the question is there no hope in at least, you know, not killing your partner anymore or not killing for you to go religious.
But there's no, it's endless. There's no hope in the world of forms. The world of forms and appearances are appearances coming and going and coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
The mind keeps looking for the solution in the world of forms, in the world of thoughts, in the way of looking at society and the way of perspective in the forms that it's creating or the situations. The freedom is always in this, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the forms come and go. There's nothing that you can hold on to that's going to be more it than anything else. It might be a peaceful society for a while, and then that gets wiped out, dinosaurs come and eat everything, and then the Ice Age, and it's always just going to keep coming and going forms. There's no freedom there. They come and go. The thoughts, the way you look at it, the way you use it, come and go, but there's something that never comes and goes, and that's this beingness. And the freedom is the end of that one that's trying to make it me, mine, my ideas, my perspective. I am the human race and we're going to evolve to a better place. It might, maybe not, it doesn't matter. You won't find any freedom in the way you look at any of this. The freedom is it just coming and going. The very simplicity of it appearing and disappearing, of this nothingness and everythingness.
And it's only the judge of the form, which that's a better place.
Yeah, which is also, but that's also what's arriving as well. Like it comes and goes as well, the judge, the personal entity. But there's a freedom here that's always here, that's boundless, which isn't an idea, which isn't a story, which is always here, and that's home. Everything else appears and disappears. And you won't ever find a good way of looking at this. It is as it is. That's why I say it's hopeless. But in a way, hopeless is another story that we can make a new religion out of. It's a hopeless religion. But we're so convinced that we're going to find some freedom in the flow of things. There's no freedom there. Who knows? Humans might evolve to all be liberated and really, we don't know. But it is what it is, and then a big aeroplane comes, or the aliens come and destroy it all. We love debunking as human, as humour. We love that, the debunking, you know, and everything collapses. I love it that humans get so carried away with themselves. You listen to someone talking about a new earth or dun dun dun. And you kind of love it all. We're hilarious. And then and then it's eating dinner and there's no drama there. Or we're very grandiose and then it becomes very mundane again. It's like eating dinner or something very simple, having to go to the toilet and I'm doing the whole speech with your flies open. We get so carried away with ourselves.
Yeah, and he's actually from Playboy TV.
The act up a massive life orgy now.
Sorry. It was a misunderstanding.
Well, We could still become breatharians.
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 Okay. Yeah, so we don't have to kill anything.
Yeah, this is a nice idea. Well, we're kind of coming to the end now, and I'm going to do some advertising.
That's a rule.
So if I think that Stefan has an email list for the next time that I come to Berlin, but another way of finding out things that I do is on my website you can subscribe, and then you'll get email updates of things that I'm doing. A different artist. And videos and things I post on. And if you want to give Stefan your email, you're more than welcome. He might be having Richard Sylvester here, I hear.
Let's see what happens, I don't know.
Well, thanks, Stefan, so much for your room and your space.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. The vague plan is that we maybe have another event in about half a year, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And another vague plan idea was maybe you come with Paul.
Oh, yeah, yeah, point. Yeah. You might have seen, I've just been doing talks with a gentleman called Paul Smith from Holland, who makes very funny videos if you haven't seen them. Yes, in Dutch. He's beginning to do them in English. Yeah. But you guys understand Dutch, don't you?
No.
No. They understand us, but we don't.
All right. Yeah. But he's having some stuff. The guy that came yesterday, Andy's translating into German.
So, however, in maybe about half a year,
yeah.
And I will send you an email if you leave me your email address. I think I have the most of your emails, but the others, they can write it down. And, yeah. There's an event in Vienna, right? In June?
Yeah. 16th to 18th June.
And then summer in Greek.
Greece, yes. Yeah.
Greece. Mm-hmm. And I lost a little bit control over the paying situation, but if anybody wants to pay still, or wants to pay even more, or hasn't paid yet, here I am. But I guess everybody.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Nadine. Group.